This is Veronica Entwistle, and you have tuned into Radiance by Design. What on earth does it mean, Radiance by Design? Well, a lot of you already know, but Radiance by Design, from my perspective, means that we choose what we're putting out there. We choose the level of frequency that we want to maintain in our body minds. How do we get there? This is the show in which we teach you little techniques, or sometimes big techniques, for shifting your fields and frequency. And I love it when you call in and ask questions. And I work, as many of you know, I'm an intuitive and an energy counselor. I have a lot of guides and angels, and they change in number and they change in personality, and some of them are pretty consistent. But what they do, if you call in, we get to see what's at the root of your question. What's at the root of your soul's journey? What kind of work, healing work, do you need to kind of answer the question? Meaning, if you're creating blocks in relationships, if you're creating isolation and loneliness, what's the question in that? What is the drive in you to create that over and over again? And how can we unhook it if that's appropriate for you? The guides are absolutely magical about that. And so I have not been talking to you as much as I had been before, because I've been doing a whole bunch of interviews for the American Dowsing Association, and we just went to the conference, which was so fun. These people are so kind and so generous. And dowsers, it's like the rest of us, but dowsers are a really extreme example, that when you're dowsing, which is using the witching rods to find water under the earth, or if you're using a pendulum to get answers and so on, none of that is going to be really clear and really honest and really helpful unless you're out of your ego. If you're in your ego, you got a whole bunch of will stuff going on, and you're creating some boogeymans for yourself or some problems for others as well. So it's really nice to be with a whole bunch of people that are concerned with that, even if they haven't all mastered it yet, or if we haven't all mastered it yet. Anyhow, I'm back here now, Radiance by Design. And my paradigm shifter this week is going to be Randy Masters. It's a pre-record. We recorded it live yesterday. And he's talking about, actually another version of this. I'm really talking today about ascension and what ascension means. And Randy, my paradigm shifter, fits right into that, into what is radiance, what is ascension. And he lives, his company is called Resonant Living, because he lives into creating higher frequency energies in his environment, in himself, in his friends, through various tools, through music, through jewelry, through beauty, through sound. And he's going to give us a bunch of examples of ways that he engineers, if that's the right word, or invents, or actually in all his studies finally creates tools that can help you live at a higher frequency in your home, or maybe 24 hours a day. Here on BBS Radio, there's a whole bunch of us who are doing talk shows. And one of the reasons I'm doing it, if not 10 reasons I'm doing it, is many, many years ago I was teaching school. And I remember being so frustrated because I felt like the media or television and radio should be interactive. I felt like people should be somehow involved, not sort of being slammed up against the wall with all this information and going numb and so on. I felt like we should be involved in it. We should be creating it. And I felt like it could change the world. It could educate everybody in a heartbeat and could help us grow and rise and so on. And now I get to do Radiance by Design, which, like many of the people on BBS Radio, is structured by me to send out a vibration of possibility, of change, of expansion, and of consciousness to you. And you can call in and be a participant in this, and together we can change the world. Well, maybe not change the world, but change the vibration of the world and see what happens. There's a lot that's written that says, change your energy, change your reality. So that was a long preamble, and I always like starting the show with my structures. My guides taught me these wonderful vibrational structures. And for those of you who are learning a lot about geometrics, sacred geometrics and so on, which are the building blocks of consciousness, and I'm not one who could actually teach you. I don't know enough about it on an intellectual level. But actually, I do know this, is that when we have these structures and we use them, we're using them to both protect ourselves and to create an environment in which we can raise our own fields and frequency, in which we can do a great deal of healing for ourselves and others, even the planet. Very, very powerful to find ways of being authentic, even though you're living in a great soup of old thoughts and feelings called the collective. So anyway, let's start off with our meditation, which is a vibrational, translucent, vibrational, sparkling meditation. Close your eyes, unless you're driving. And I know a lot of us will be able to listen to internet radio in the car soon, so that's not so funny. I used to think that was funny. Just wait a while and it all creates itself, doesn't it? So above your head, perhaps 2 miles, see a golden ball, and this golden ball is translucent, radiant, radiant, translucent. And when I say that, I'm shown that the ball is gold, but it has other lights in it, almost like a white gold light. You can see what comes up in yours. Now below your spine, perhaps 40 feet, another golden ball. And now drop a filament of light from the upper golden ball right down through your spine into the lower golden ball. Do you feel the filament shoot through your skin and through your spine? Okay, now let's see which way I'll do it today. Okay, now in front of your body, perhaps 20 feet, and behind your body, perhaps 20 feet, and from side to side, 20 feet on each side, another golden ball. So now you have 4 golden balls, one on the right, one on the left, and one forward and one behind. Now from the upper golden ball to these 4 golden balls, which now are creating our floor, if you will, drop a pyramid, a 4-sided pyramid. And I want the lines of this pyramid to be absolutely translucent, radiant, very, very bright. I'm seeing it as gold. What are you seeing? It doesn't have to be gold. It can be a different color, just not mud brown or nothing mucky. And now from the golden balls to the lower golden ball, drop another pyramid, 4-sided pyramid. So now you have an octahedron, that's a pyramid pointing up, and a pyramid pointing down. And it's very radiant. Can you feel it? I can feel the radiance. And now inside of the octahedron, I would like you to create a crystal ball. See a beautiful crystal ball, the outside edges of which touch the inside edges of your octahedron. And you can feel the energy change when you create your crystal ball. Does it feel feminine? Is there emotion to it? Is there any emotion to it? And now move in farther. And put yourself in a star tetrahedron, which is shaped like the Merkaba, the light body. And that's a 3-sided pyramid pointing up and a 3-sided pyramid pointing down. You swirl one of them about 60 degrees around in a circle. And then push them together so that they're about a third interactive, so that you've basically got here a 3-dimensional Star of David. Do you got that? If you're having trouble with that, just do a 3-sided pyramid pointing up and a 3-sided pyramid pointing down, and you get the powerful sacred geometric shape of the double tetrahedron. So you're either going to be in a star tetrahedron or a double tetrahedron. And remember, you've got the filament of light running through your body. And you've got these amazing translucent lines on your octahedron and perhaps on the creation of your crystal ball. Now in this structure, find yourself spinning and spinning and spinning and spinning and spin and spin to shift the energies. Good work. And as you're spinning, see in front of you a magical screen, and on this screen, take a few minutes and create the movies of what you want to see, either for yourself or for the world or for healing or for other people or for education, whatever it is. I always like to ask for a relationship with all the dimensions that I can feel and see and understand. Or about relationships at all. Whether it's family of origin, intimate relationships, your relationship with the world at large. How are your resources? Let's do one that's all about creating resources, flowing resources, perhaps for yourself and everyone. And then take those people that you're aware of who are suffering, who are ill, and see them in there and see healing. See them getting the answer to their journey and the healing that they love. Now, on your own, you can spend a half an hour or longer doing this. Let's put our political structure in there as well and see that people act from a higher and higher level of integrity for the greater good of all. That we function from love and from a win-win for all of us. And see the water all over the planet healing and detoxifying. And that food, resources reach everyone. And I'm sure you have a whole lot more issues that you'd really like to talk about with that. Now bring yourself back into your star tetrahedron or your double tetrahedron and spin a bit more. How do you feel at the end of that? Take a minute. Shake yourself a bit. Feel good? Doesn't it feel lighter? We've been traveling and we're sitting here in a friend's house, and I feel, after I've done the structures, I feel kind of cleaned up, I feel cleaned out, I feel kind of expanded, and I feel so possible about those manifestations that we put in there. And I hope, I didn't say this today, but I hope you remember to feel whatever it is you're putting into your manifestation structure. Now today, I really wanted to talk about ascension. How I wanted to talk about it was just that we keep doing healing work, and we're doing more and more healing work, and we're talking about meditations and so on. And, you know, we throw around words like ascension, and I thought, yeah, we need to have a discussion about that. What does ascension mean to you? I was talking to the guides just before this show, and they were so sweet about it. It's basically just moving our fields and frequency. And I think of it as matching the changing frequencies on the earth. On the earth and through the universe, there's a sort of downloads of energy that are really shifting the frequencies coming from the universe, coming up from Mother Earth, and they're meeting in us. And wherever they meet, it brings up resistances that are where we have our densities, where we have our holding patterns left from other experiences and so on. So some of the changing frequencies right now, even though the frequencies are on the rise, create some really horrendous difficulties in our body mind. Some people get ill. Some people get kind of unbalanced. Some people feel like aches and pains all over, and it seems like things are going way too fast, which they are. But you get stopped in your tracks by some strange things. I know of a lot of people who are just suddenly dying. Now, that isn't true for everybody. It's just what's happening when those densities get brought up, meaning the higher frequency energies move through our body, and we can help that. We can help ourselves increase our, what would we say, our own basic energy so that we can hold, so that we can absorb and hold higher frequency energies. When I first learned to do my intuitive work and my channeling and so on, I went through horrible periods of time, like night after night, with felt like I was having kind of holes bored into my skull sometimes. I don't mean it was like physical. It was like hot, energetic, and then it would streak through my body, streak through the body, and streak through the body. Most people I know who are intuitives or people of, you know, some kind of healing work and so on have had to go through some huge physical adjustments. And I'm saying to all of you that that's what you're probably going through, too. The whole object of ascension is that we're moving out of a base level of frequency for our generations and moving into a much higher level of frequency where we can live very swiftly in focusing visualizations, intention, and creating our reality and so on, and moving out of the dross of reaction and cruelty and possessiveness and greed and so on. You know, we always hear that, gee, we could be living heaven on earth. And so to me, ascension is really a term that means rising in frequency. You're ascending in frequency. It's really an interesting time. Do you have any stories about ascension in your world? I'm going to stop right now and then give you the numbers because I'd love you to call in and we can talk about your lives. Are y'all ready? Call in with your questions, with your discussions. Let's talk about ascension. Let's talk about healing. Let's talk about the changes that are going on in your world and the changes you'd really like to see and what is it you're intending and how are you doing with your intentions. We'll talk a bit more about that as well. If you're in the States, it's 877-876-5227, 877-876-5227. If you're there in Canada, my home country, but I'm living in the States now, this is my home country. From Canada, it's 888-810-8322, 888-810-8322. And the direct line for the rest of you out there in the world, call in from amazing exotic places and tell us what ascension's like over there where you are. 530-876-3222, 530-876-3222. So what I started talking about is that there's a lot of people talking also about earth changes, huge changes that are coming up on the planet. I'm not that kind of reader, mostly because I'm kind of a weenie about it. I get scared. And I don't know about scared, but I sort of block it is what I really do. My great faith and trust is that if we're working with our process, our ascension and so on, that means if we're clearing and clearing and more clearing and clearing out the kind of holding patterns. Our last show, we talked about accessing in your body-mind holding patterns left from experiences you have. And it seems to me that as we clear and clear, we'll be lighter and freer to kind of surf a lot of the changes. I suppose dying isn't the worst thing either. Oh, goody, we have a call. I'll just finish this thought. Dying isn't the worst thing either. I keep thinking that as we keep going with ascension, it gets easier to move through if that's what comes up for us as well. So good afternoon. You're on the air. Thank you for your call.
Hello.
Hello.
It's Junie.
Hi, how you doing?
I thought the Dowsers conference is this week. I was called and said, I'll see you this weekend. Hi, caramba.
Well, you missed me, silly girl.
Dang it.
Oh, well, that's okay. How are you doing? Are you ascended yet?
I'm doing my very best.
I know you are.
And I have a little question.
Please.
About intending. Maybe I'm just from the age of Pisces so much that when I go to intend my own future, I always go to, I just better wait and see what I'm supposed to do, or thy will be done, kind of. You know, not my will, but yours.
Well, that's a really good thing to talk about, actually, because one of the things that happened for me at the Dowsers Conference is I became aware over and over again about the fact that I'm really in need of surrendering to the will of spirit more right now.
Oh.
There are times when you do it more than another time. But my understanding is that when we drive ourselves and our minds and our hearts intentionally, right, then you can also then surrender, can't you? I intend to meet with so-and-so and that it would be an easy solution for us to blah, 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 right? And then surrender it over to spirit.
Right. Okay, two steps.
But I believe also that the power that we have with intention is that just to collect your wits enough to drive their thoughts and feelings, you know, is a lot different than the way we used to be, more random and chaotic.
I just find I'm afraid to set a really specific intention. Like, I intend to get really successful painting silk.
Great.
I feel really afraid, and I think there's just something blocking, you know, probably because I've had a million pipe dreams and they didn't happen.
Well, I think what's really wonderful about that is when we intend something and we really have a wonderful goal, it's great to meet your fears.
Okay.
And your fear is like you just really don't deserve it.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. It's not going to happen for you. It might happen for someone else,
forget
it. And I don't want to disappoint myself or make an ass of myself.
I don't want to get too excited and be disappointed or something.
Yeah. And I think it's really good to pay attention to that. So what do we do? We call it up.
Call in
your angels. Call in your guidance. Call in your connection to source energy.
Ropes in the purple flame.
Yeah, and then say, okay, I want to feel all my fears about this. So doing our intentions is a great way actually to flush up our fears, because those are the things that create themselves in our world as well, aren't they?
Definitely, yeah. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy almost, isn't it?
Yeah, and you know, we were talking today, Bob and I, about how Lazarus has been saying apparently for 20 years or so, and others are saying more currently, you know, that we don't have to go through, like Jackie's team that I work with on Thursday nights and so on, we don't have to go back in time and sort things out anymore.
Right.
We need to step away. Remember, I think I've said this several times on the air, I just about cracked up the first time I heard Lazarus say, there's nothing too great to walk away from. There's no problem too great to walk away from, and I laugh because I've been lumbering around trying to kind of break my problems apart and get all the nuggets of whatever out of them, you know.
Right, right.
But when you're talking about that, like, bring it up, see the fears, take a look at it, and go, you know, you don't owe, because part of you owes and owes and owes and owes. I don't know if you know that. You have all this owing. I owe the world, I owe the history, I owe myself, I la 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 la. You don't.
Mm-hmm.
It's a creative adventure that we're on. You owe yourself, I suppose, to become very loving and free to be loving and creative, because that's where you're going to get a lot of joy, right? And compassion. So I think what's blocking your intentions is perfect for you to learn what blocks your...
Well, I didn't even know until I was talking to you right now.
Well, isn't it nice that I performed some kind of service for you?
Thank you. I don't want to type the line too long. I'll let someone else call, but I appreciate that clarity there.
Does it make sense to you?
Totally makes sense, because it's like that's the main answer to every other question. It's self-love and self-respect and worthiness.
Well, also remember this, Juniper, that you don't have to be adhering to your past and making it okay. That's something that you might say, I'm not doing that, but you are. I can see it.
What is it?
It's like... It's a stickiness that keeps pulling you into recognition that this stuff hasn't happened for you, or you haven't done it that way before, and, you know, maybe you don't deserve it, and blah, blah, blah. But that's
blah,
just,
blah, blah, yeah.
It's just really going, it's just really believing that we have to undo our kettle of fish from the past. Don't.
So just hanging out in the purple flame should do. I mean, do you have to go in and name every single thing, or can you just like roast in that flame and it'll clear it?
Turn yourself on the spit, girl.
Okay, you know I have.
I know you have. I think intentioning is really like, to me, it's like an engine.
Yeah.
Okay, it really is important. It's crucial for you to direct yourself.
I'll keep trying. I just find I feel a very big block against it. Like,
but
I'm going to make a mistake, and I should just let, you know, Creator decide what I should do and not really have an intention.
No, I think you're all right. You're on the track. You're getting to see what your fears are.
Yeah.
But so I would just practice doing the intent. Write out your fears. Take a look at them. Even burn them.
Yeah.
And do your intentions and then hand them to God.
Right. I like that two-step part. Yeah.
Yeah.
Make an intention, and then I can go into that surrender piece that's so familiar.
And you can chuckle.
Okay, I'll chuckle for you.
And know you're worthy.
Yeah, I'm working on that piece.
All right, thank you.
Blessed be. Thank you. Thank you for your show. Love you. Bye.
Love you too. Bye bye. There's another interesting thing. We went to see Rowena Kreider when I was in at the Dowsers. We took a day off and we went to a wonderful workshop with Rowena Kreider, and she does Google her stuff because she does absolutely stunning work. But what she is she's an elder, She's in her 70s. She has written 12 books and done some movies and so on. She's done an awful lot of stuff. But what it is she's been very on her path, impossible to contain, very passionate, very creative, and very close to her soul journey for her 70-odd years. And she there's a lot to learn from people like that, always artistic, always intelligent, always sort of self-driven. Even in her 70s, she does all the layouts for her own books and so on. I mean, it's amazing how much this woman actually can accomplish. But the thing that I keep saying that I took with such heart is she said that following your joy, following your bliss, following your joy is really important. But that sometimes it can create a lot of, thank you for your call, I'll be with you in a moment. Sometimes following your joy can be anguishing. So that there can be the joy of you exploring how to, say with Juniper, how to create that surrender and that strong intention into the world. It can be very excruciating as we bump up against our own resistances and our limitations. I really loved that part of her talk. You're on the air. Thank you for your call.
Hello. My name is Kay Lobo, and I'm out here in Branson, Missouri.
Hi.
And, hi, how are you today?
Hi.
I just heard the other lady who just called in, and she's trying to ascend or go a little bit higher. This is actually all really pretty new to me.
Mm-hmm.
I've had a lot of spiritual things happen to me, wonderful things, unusual things happen since 1996, the day my dad passed away. I actually had what I call a white light experience where a white light filled the room in my kitchen in Jacksonville, Florida, actually. And the Lord spoke to me and let me know my dad was passing away that day. And I just had enough time to call New York from Florida and say goodbye to him because they had rushed him to the hospital and he died very shortly after that. So this is the first time I really started really looking into, you know, certain things and trying to maybe have contact with more spiritual. And it happened to me for the first time. I had tried it last Wednesday night. I had been asking, I wanted to get closer, you know, spiritual, get closer, whatever, and move to a higher level. And I had what I believe was an orb. I went out of my apartment to close the windows on my car because it was going to rain. And over the top of my apartment, right where I was in the living room area, my apartment, there was this circle, and then it would break off into these four, like, things that would swirl around, and then go back into the center, make a circle, and then break off to four, it looked like ghosty-looking little things or whatever. And then I noticed I went out in the parking lot, and it followed wherever I would go, and I went around the building, walked, like probably 500 feet or more over. It would circle around me, stay over me, circle around me. This happened. This went on for over an hour and a half. Now the whole time I was talking to my sister on the phone in New York and letting her know because I really didn't know what it was at first. First I was a little scared and I thought, okay, it's okay. And then at the very end, I sat down. I was actually sitting in a lawn chair in the parking lot watching the swirl around me doing the same thing. It would get wider, get closer. Oh, and at one point you have to go up like a little hill. And up this little hill, and I reached up, and one of them came down almost to about a foot from my hand. And I just remember saying, oh, how beautiful it was. So it didn't change looking, but how beautiful it felt, I think, more. And I could almost touch it. And I said, if I could touch it, I know it would be the same feeling as when my kitchen in Jacksonville, I actually saw hands come around my waist, and just it was like the pure love of God, which is pure love, and just made me fall on my knees and say, oh, God. And at that point, my brother, who had been killed in Vietnam, was kneeling next to me, and he told me how long, you know, he's weeping, and he said how long he'd been waiting for this, for my dad to pass over to them. So, if that lady thinks, it can happen to anybody. If this can happen to me, because I have no experience, I don't have any knowledge of this at all. And the first time, really, what I did was, I just, had feelings of love and telling them I love them, and I wanted them to come near me, and then this just happened, and I'm just still amazed by it.
Oh, that's so, what a wonderful story. Did you get any pictures?
No. I consciously thought about it, but I remember my camera was sort of packed away. And it was just like, I was just so, it was an hour and a half. I was talking to my sister the whole time. But it was, I just wanted to experience it. It was just so wonderful. And, I suppose I should have gone to get pictures. I was thinking, It was happening. It was lasting so long. I said, I'll get the camera or whatever. But then I got out the chair, and I was just sitting under it and watching. Oh, the very last part I got a little scared, too. The very last part, it all of a sudden stopped, and it would be like a ball of like an orb, a round thing. And then it would break off into four, and then they would swirl around in a circle, and then go back and sort of go to the ball and bounce off, become four, and swirl around, like over my head. Then all of a sudden, I was talking to my sister, and I was sitting in the chair in the middle of the parking lot, and all of a sudden it went up and it stopped, and there were four, and I said, oh no, like I didn't know what was going to happen because it was all new to me. I was got like a little scared, and then it just, boom, it blinked off like somebody turned off a light switch, and it was gone.
So they were just playing with you. They're just beings of consciousness, aren't they, from another dimension?
I really wasn't sure what it was. I mean, I heard about the Palladians and different things. I'm just learning about this thing. I don't know who or what it is that's contacting me. I actually have been told, that's how I got to Branson, Missouri. I was told to move, to go by land, actually. And I had, like, you know, when I was in Jacksonville, Florida, over my head, like, a man with a megaphone over my head said, go by land. And I just got up and I went to the computer, went on eBay, and I started buying land east of Branson. I had never heard of Barry. And I moved out here. I packed up all my stuff and moved out here.
And has it been a successful move for you?
Excuse me?
Was it a successful move?
Yeah, I love it. I groom pets. I just had a promise of a job, and then it worked out fine. And I just love it out here. It's like being in heaven, and it's absolutely beautiful. I had said to the Lord, because I was getting really disgusted with the way the world was and getting, you know, really disheartened about it, and I said, where can I go where things are the way they were meant to be? And he sent me out here in Branson. It's very spiritual, very, you know.
And is that true? Spiritual. Have you found that to be true?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And what kind of work do you do?
Right now, I went to school and college to become a writer, and I wrote in arts and entertainment publications in Jacksonville, Florida, and some other freelance writing. But, I guess I'm supposed to really write. I had 63 chapters written of all these spiritual things that have happened to me since in 1996, when that happened with the white light experience in Jacksonville. But I'm working on that, but it's got to be about four books now, but so many things have happened. But it's more personal things. But I groom pets right now, actually. And I said to the Lord, I know he has a purpose, but he wants me to do something out here. But I just wait on his time and for his direction. And that's
so do you do intentioning at all?
Excuse me?
Do you do intentions at all?
Intentions?
What's when I ask and intend to create a book? I ask and intend to have an easy conversation with so-and-so today to heal whatever our past was. I ask and intend. A lot of people are doing that right now.
Oh, okay. Now, see, this is all very new to me. I really have no, background or knowledge or working with anyone or anything in this. It just sort of has happened to me, and I'm just trying to, I've been floundering, actually, here and there, and I've just been following the direction of what I've been getting from the spiritual contact, I actually hear, a voice talks to me and tells me every once in a while, and then it's like a little nagging thing goes on until I do what, I'm supposed to do. But it's all good things. It's never anything bad or anything like that. Otherwise, I just wouldn't go along with it. But I know it's all good intention, and now this is the first time I really felt I wanted to move to a higher level. I've been asking for that, and that just happened to me Wednesday night.
So you've been asking for that, and that is a lot like intending, really.
Oh, okay.
It means, like deciding what it is you want to have to experience in each episode, whether it's every 2 minutes or every 2 years, it doesn't matter.
Right. Yeah.
And where you're headed. So what I love about your call is how much is spontaneously coming to you. And I told you, you probably heard me say I was away this weekend where there's a conference and so on, and I kept learning over and over again that I haven't been surrendering enough and really just surrendering to the will of spirit. So it's a balance act for me anyway. It's a big balancing act of when to surrender and hear and when to be intentional and do,
Right. Well, what do you think I should do the next step? Like, when it stopped and the four lights stopped and they just sort of were, like, looking at me, I got, scared, oh, my gosh, I don't know what's going to happen next. And then, I don't know. What should I do next as far as... I really felt like I wanted to have, an out-of-body experience and go with them wherever, and then, come back, of course, but... should I ask for that? And maybe that could happen. I think
sure.
That's what I want.
Mm-hmm. And when you ask for stuff like that, make sure that it's for the highest good of everyone and also that it's very safe. But the first thing that came up from my guidance when you started to ask that question is they'll be back. And
right.
It will be very uplifting and loving for you. You have nothing to fear. But
yeah, when I reached up and I almost touched, I knew, when that happened, that experience happened to me in Jacksonville, Florida. I actually saw the hands. I believe it was Jesus' hands came around my waist from the back. I just saw the hands and a robe, beautiful robe, come around, and it was just like the pure love of God. So when I reached up, I said, I know if I could touch it, I would feel that again, because I know what that feels like. Once that happens, you can never forget that. So I felt if I could, and I got so close, and I remember saying, oh, it's so beautiful and all this, but it wasn't the color. It didn't change colors or anything. It was just sort of like this wispy, almost like a light, like a curtain, this real sheer curtain.
Oh,
that's what it looked like. Yeah. But I felt this, you know, just so beautiful. And I thought, if I could just touch it, I know it would feel that again.
Were there any faces in the orbs in the
faces?
Book?
Faces? Yeah. No, it was just like, four sort of wispy, you know, like floating kind of thing. But they were like four in a corner, like a square. One, mm-hmm. two, three, four. And then they would come together, they swirl around in a circle, and then, you know, sometimes faster, sometimes slower. It was like they're doing a dance. And then all of a sudden they'd come together in the middle and make a ball and then break off again, but always in, you know, exactly four. You know, not like, always even, very even, and go around and around again. And wherever I would walk, I really walked around and walked down the park, and then they get bigger. Sometimes they got bigger and farther away, but huge. And then they'd always come back and bounce in the middle, come in the middle, bounce back off, and go around and around. And then I walked around the building and, you know, way over to the next building. You know, this is the highway right here. Way over to the next building. I said, I swear, they're fine. I sat down for 20 minutes at least, and they're over my head doing the whole thing. I was just absolutely amazed. I'm still amazed by it.
And, well, you're really connected. I mean, that's really wonderful. You'll have a lot more of those experiences. So
yeah, I know that I want to have a purpose. If I ask for a purpose, I may have thrown myself over to the Lord like years ago now. And I wanted to have a purpose in this way. When he sent me out here, he told me I was to build a church. He said, the church of the woods. And I was thinking church like a building. At one point he said, hey, you think too small. He said, this will not be just a church. It will be a way of life. So, uh-huh. You know, I know sometimes his thinking can be years, you know, like poor Moses. It could be 40 years from now. And, you know, so I'm just trying to go along. And, you know, and I've tried to go to church, you know, people, because I really wasn't even going to church when they original thing happened to me with the white light. I called the white light experience when my dad passed away that day. And the room filled with this white, beautiful, brilliant white light. I was standing, but I couldn't see through it. And all I was thinking, I got to get out of the kitchen. I knew which way the door was. Out of the kitchen. And then the voice started to speak to me and let me know my dad was passing away. And then my brother, of course. It's, right now, whenever I speak about my brother being killed in Vietnam in 1969, I get this smile on my face that I can't stop it, because I know where they are and I know they're waiting for us. And they have the same pain of separation that we have here. They're waiting for us to come and be with them again.
You're absolutely right. Well, I really appreciate your call, and it's very inspiring, and it's a big reminder that we are connected, and sometimes it comes to us even when we're not doing all the right things, or we don't think we are.
Yeah, I'm just trying to go a little further, so you think I should just keep asking. Just what I did was I just emanated love. I just told them, I love them. And then, because I heard that from another, James Gilliland, after reading some of his books and seeing, listening to his shows and so forth.
And gratitude, see?
Yeah, right.
But I feel like you're on the right track.
I'm always amazed. I mean, I have been amazed by these things. And some people, you can't tell these things to because they think you're not thinking clearly.
Oh, I know.
I know they're happening.
But actually, what we were talking about also is ascension. There's a lot of us. There's a frequency rise going on in the planet and coming in through the universe, and we're becoming. There's less distance. You can see through the veil more easily, and we have greater contact with beings on the other side. And it's a process of elevation.
It's happening to a lot more people. So then, when I try to explain to them, I won't have to be doing so much explaining. But I'm praying it happens to everyone.
Many blessings to you, my dear. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye. Well, that's an interesting story, and I don't know if you can hear that one, Juniper, but it's so often that these experiences just happen to people, and they don't necessarily... I don't know this woman. I think your name was Kay, but it doesn't just happen to people that are necessarily ready or have been doing the right praying or the right intending or the wrong intending or whatever. It happens to some people. It's a very sort of a spontaneous thing. I suppose it's on a person's soul journey. But watching her, it's like, oh, goody, we have another call. I just want to say one other thing. It's like seeing her light and her openness to it and her receptivity and her personal growth, which comes along with it. Those are the things, the personal growth of waking up, becoming more alert to love, to gratitude, to appreciation, to forgiveness. So hello, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm so happy to get through. My name's Alicia.
Hi.
And
Alicia.
Uh-huh. Okay. And I've been doing quite a bit of work on opening to channel, and I was wondering what the next step would be and how to work through... I guess fear.
Are you, what do you, one of the, I want to say two things. One is, what are you afraid of? And the other thing is that you have this amazing light that's all around your crown so that you are, do you already channel?
Yes, I do. I guess I feel like I'm, I have a lot of voices that are saying, well, who are you to say you do that? You know, the, but I guess, yes, I do.
And who are you to do that? I mean, like, who's any of us, right?
Yeah, you're right.
You know, when I look at you, I see the light coming to you. It's to me, a lot of times, channeling is a training process. You have to literally break the channels in through the top of your head. Some people have it happen, like I think Jay-Z Knight, who does Rampa, I think she had a spontaneous arrival. But a lot of us have to learn it. And so who are you to do it? You're somebody who's learning. And you also have a high-frequency basic nature, which some people don't have. And that sort of aligns you. You also have quite a bit. How old are you?
I'm 50.
Okay. The only reason I ask age is because it's hard to figure out time and links up, you know, in the time-space continuum sort of thing. And I feel like this thing about your fear is somebody convinced you that you were not... almost like you're maybe not smart enough. You've been convinced that you weren't quite enough of a person. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, and I find that that part of you wavers in terms of being sure about presenting yourself to the world, but you're as great as anyone else. And you have a really wonderful mission coming up. You're going to have to get this channeling going through, and you've got to talk to some people. It may not be many people, but you have to get going because... it's going to make you stronger. You're going to start feeling that your power is more about being who you are and being very humbled about being able to present yourself on the planet. Not that you have to be famous or anything. It's just like the reality of your life. This is unusual. I don't see this with everyone. But the reality of your life is very sort of gentle and sweet, and there's an embodiment of a number of different dimensional connections. And when you're in that, you'll be humble. And you'll be steady, and you'll be thanking your higher self that you're presenting yourself in this multidimensional fashion. And you don't have to be all kind of fancy and rich and important, you know?
Yeah. Wow.
Not that you're not. Maybe you are, but I just feel you as a gentle, rather delicate. Yeah, I feel like you've been convinced that you're not enough, and very soon you're going to feel so relieved to be who you are. And there's a real sweet adoration coming from the guides that you bring through to you, which will make you very strong.
Thank you.
And so the thing to be afraid of, I want to go back to the fear you mentioned. The things about channeling to be afraid of is, you know, as you get weird energies in a crowded place. I mean, it's always, 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 whether you're talking about clearing and healing yourself or you're talking about bringing in other beings, you always have to clear, clear, clear. I think clearing, my guides always say, is about 98% of the job these days.
Okay.
So if you have, do you have clearing techniques that you use?
I do.
Yeah, see, I think that's just, so when you're afraid, you just get clearing. And other people's opinion, well, guess what? You have to kind of get through that.
Yeah.
When I started doing my work, I had to walk through the idea that I might be crazy. Because I couldn't handle it. When somebody said, you're crazy, I would collapse. So I had to sort of sit with that and let myself go through that because I wasn't crazy. But they were afraid, right?
Yeah. Sometimes I feel the information I get, well, it feels like I'm making it up.
Oh, yeah, I know that feeling.
Yeah.
Pretty much, if you ask other channels, you'll find at least near the beginning or there's some point at which you don't feel that anymore. You can give that back to God, you know.
Yeah.
But that's pretty common. Check it out, and then you'll feel more confident and you realize that. And the other thing somebody taught me years ago was that I might have imagined it. Well, imagination is a higher frequency than normal thought. So you're still better to be imagining than just to be in the normal thought. So there you have it.
Okay. that feels great.
Is there anything else?
Oh, gosh, I could keep you on the phone forever, but I'd better let you go. Thank you so much.
I probably should get another call, but thank you very much for your call.
Thank you.
Keep going. You've got a mission, girl.
I will. Thank you.
Bye-bye. So that's interesting, and channeling is a funny thing, isn't it? There's so many people that don't approve of it, and you get all this funny, I don't know, I think you just have to keep purifying, and you always ask questions. I'm with a wonderful man now, which I haven't always been, and he, when I channel, he always engages the guides in a number of different ways so that he can check the material and checks and balances and so on. And I think those disciplines, not that you have to do just that, but the clearing of our own desires, our own will, our own empowerments and all of that stuff, getting out of the way, all of that stuff is really crucial. Purifying the atmosphere, cleansing the room, cleansing your body. I like to do a physical workout, some breathing and all kinds of stuff before I start to channel to get myself cleared out. Now, well, that's fun. We've had a bunch of callers. It's been a while since I've been on talking to a lot of callers. We don't have a whole lot of time left, so I'm just going to talk a bit about my next show, which is called Paradigm Shifters. And my interview today is with Randy Masters. It's a pre-record, but not so pre, because we did it yesterday live so that it would be a better kind of take. Now, Randy is a wonderful, he's a musician, and he's a sound healer. He's done an awful lot of innovative things about healing with sound on the planet. And as many of you know, that in this process of ascension, in this process of frequency shift in the collective and so on, light, and that's our visualization and so on, but real light is one of the most amazing transforming tools and a way to create reality. And so is sound. So Randy is, he makes jewelry, or he designs jewelry and so on according to sacred geometrics and color and light and so on. And he now also, he does a lot of work with, for example, chimes and, you know, those kind of chimes that hang on your desk. They'll be in a little wooden frame and they're usually quite attractive. He's created relationships between notes in these sets of chimes. So he's going to be talking. I'm kind of warning you in advance that it's a very, very informative interview. But in many ways, his conversation could be a little bit overwhelming. For example, he's going to be talking about these chimes that he'll play for you in this interview. And they represent the sounds of the numerical basis of hydrogen. Now, hydrogen is one of the prime elements that creates all life on our planet. So when you play these chimes, that means running... Oh, good, I have a caller. I'll just finish this one thought. When you play these chimes, which means running a little stick or something along them so that they, you know, fan out, then what you're getting in your room is actually the influence of a really elemental force of creation in your life, and you can really feel the difference. So bear with him and listen to this and see if you can feel what his chimes do to the atmosphere, to your inner atmosphere, so on. All right, I have a caller. Good afternoon. You're on the air.
Hi, Veronica. This is Laris from Barcelona. How are you doing?
I'm doing really well, Laris. How are you?
Good. Always listening to you and to Jackie, although I'm being very silent lately.
Oh, good. That's great.
Yes. And today I said, since she's talking about intention,
right.
I wanted to say that for me it has been very important to actually realize myself who is intending every time that my mind comes up with some type of idea or fixation.
Mm-hmm.
So when I step back and I say, who is intending versus what is being intended, then I immediately get into a space of observance. So I am observing who is intending.
That's
this is the mind,
good.
Really.
That's a really good way to discipline ourselves for our deeper motivations, isn't it?
Yes, and also put you immediately away from the results.
Hmm.
I'm fully present.
Hmm. Do you also surrender?
Yes, that comes with that. Immediately then you accept where you are,
mm-hmm.
and you become happy amazingly, which after being in this stage that you were talking with Jackie about of deep sadness and negative and all that I have also felt on. And this attitude has helped me a lot.
Great, that's wonderful. So the attitude is, when I'm intending, I say, and who is intending?
Yeah.
So it moves you to parts of yourself?
Right. Exactly.
That's wonderful.
So I also wanted to, once more, again, telling you all my appreciation for being there and to the attitude. I also listen to all the archives, and it helps me a lot because it's like I realize that I'm part of the whole thing among with everyone else, and I learn a lot from your experience and your ideas. So thank you very, very much.
Thank you, Laris, and thank you for calling in from Spain. We send you much light because there is no time and space, so we're all one, and we're here together, aren't we? Keep growing, my dear.
Thomas. Yes.
Yeah. Well, that was a wonderful call. It's been, I think we only have a couple of minutes left, but, we might have time for one more call. If there's one more caller, call fast. Otherwise, we're getting ready for Randy Masters, my paradigm shifter for today. And, you know, I hope a lot of you are enjoying the music of Amrita Cottrell. And Amrita is also one who does sound healing, and she created the sounds that you're hearing on my show every week. She created those in a search for how to heal her own breast cancer with sound. So she went to university, and she studied, or she went to college, and she studied sound, she studied music, and so on, and began to move through with the sounds and the instruments and all that. And we both find, Bob and I both find that her music of all the sound healing CDs that I've got seems to be the most potent, but I'd love to get your feedback. And now, as I was saying, that Randy's talking about the rapport between he's talking about the distances between notes and setting up scales that are really different than our normal Western scale. So some of the sounds are really different, but he has calculated numerically using physics and using math and all that. He's calculated using the numbers that represent the elements and so on. He's calculated which sounds should go where. And that's why we got him to, he'll explain things that are a little bit heady, and that's why I'm doing so much preamble here. But we got him to play some of his music or some of his chimes and so on to see if you could actually get the feeling of applying that kind of wisdom and that kind of information to your own body mind. Because, you know, we're a resonant chamber ourselves, and I've done shows on that before, making sounds and feeling them move through the body. We can do a lot of healing by focusing sound through our body. But anyway, this is going to be, I hope, a delightful experience for you. Paradigm Shifters at the top of the hour. I hope it's going to be a delightful experience for you to travel through some of the products of a very brilliant musical healer. And now going back to ascension, you can use music to, for example, work through some of those big densities that are inside of us. Maybe I'll finish this with doing a final a clearing, because all of the stuff that we're talking about ascension, we're talking about sound, we're talking about the sounds of elements and choosing certain beautiful sounds to move through our body in order to heal. It's all about releasing. It's all about transforming denser fields and frequencies, and it's all about different styles of doing that, isn't it? So let's do a healing technique. We're going to end with this. Randy's interview is a little bit short, so we're going to go maybe a little over time, if that's all right with you, Dawn. Doing a healing technique, and then we'll move right into Amrita's music, a little bit of her intro, and then Randy's 52-minute interview. All right, so here we'll finish with a... let's all wrap ourselves in light. And I want you to imagine somebody who's very, very close to you. Maybe it's a lover, a spouse, a good friend, doesn't matter. And I want you to imagine that person. I want you to feel all the holding that you have on that person, all the possession of that person. I think we all have it, so don't say, I don't have any. I don't know if we could believe that. Maybe it's possible. We'll see. I want you to call up in your body, mind, all the possession that you have on somebody that you really care about. I want you to feel all the possessiveness and exaggerate it. And where do you feel it in your body? And exaggerate that feeling and just call it up and call it up. Woo, I didn't wrap myself in light enough and I'm starting to pull in some energies from the radio, so I'm just push it back out. Wrap myself in light. I might even throw myself in a double tetrahedron and spin it for a minute. Okay, now let's go back in and call up all the energy of possessiveness of somebody that I'm with, whether it's a friend, a lover, a spouse. It can just be a friend that you have a special relationship with. It doesn't matter. And we're calling in the presence of the higher, our guides and angels, those beings of light and consciousness that have worked with us for maybe millions of years. And ask for help as we command total release of that possessiveness now. Now look at, some of you have it pulling out of the belly. Some of you have it right in the belly, which houses the subconscious, everybody else's influence. I see these big streaks of dark stuff coming out. Some other people have it right down through the chest. And I look at you over there. You've got in your arm, upper arm on the right, and then down on your hands and wrists, both of them. That's it. And just exaggerate it. Pay attention, because this is very, very empowering when you can do this kind of work. Possessing people isn't going to help us grow into an ascended role, is it? Possessing people is going to keep us all sort of stifled and attached at some level, which will keep us denser. So don't be afraid to release it. Things could really get a lot better. So ask for help from your guides and angels. Good. As they pull it off and pull it out, and you command total release of it. And now call in a whirling, platinum, spiraling light from above. Bring it in from the great central sun and have it move in through the top of your head and scour your body. Feel its spiraling action move around and around in your head, in your neck, through your arms, through your fingers. You're scouring, remember. You can't just think this. You've got to feel it. And that spiraling platinum light moves back up your arms, around your rib cage, through your lungs. That's it. Through your lungs, through your stomach, belly, genital area, through your legs. Spiral, spiral, spiral through your legs. Have that little corkscrew go through your feet, into your toes till they tingle. And now shoot that light right into the core of the earth. Now, how does that feel? My recommendation is that we spend a lot of our, I guess it's our focus and intention of clearing, by just picking a thing like that and then clearing it out. And the more we can detach from one another, not be attached, not possessive, the more we can grow into our authentic selves, and sometimes the better the relationship is going to be. So this is Veronica Entwistle. I'm going to release you now. I'm going to release you now and let you listen to Randy Masters. If any of you would like a session with me, or if you'd like to have some information, or let me know what you thought of the show, or if you've got ideas that you want run on the show, or whatever, email me, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com, no H in Entwistle, veronica@veronicaentwistle.com. I'll see you on Jackie's show at 8 o'clock on Thursday night. I'm not sure what she's talking about this week, but she's talking a lot about the ascension process. And I'm not sure who I'm interviewing next week, so I'll let you know about that. If you want to be on my email list, let me know, Veronica at veronicaentwistle.com. Much love to all of you. Many blessings. Thanks for your courageous calls and all the hard work you're doing one with the other.